Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, here we are in Salt Lake City at the Consumer Summit presented by Brandless. It's a company here. And entrepreneur is constantly looking for ways to help the entrepreneur. In this case, it could be writing a book. I have a friend actually that wants to write a book right now. And he's like, hey, Alan, could you help me write a book? I go, I'm a radio guy. You know, and he's like, yeah, but you know everybody. I go, I do know everybody, but maybe I know a guy. I think I know a guy. Well, in this case, today, here he is. His name is Chip Hopper, Book Jedi. And that's what you do. You help people tell their stories.
Yes.
So, first of all, how did you get into this?
Well, it's a crazy story. So, my corporate position has been one of corporate strategy and business development and things, but I've always loved to read. 30 years ago, I started reading a book a week.
And every, wow.
And I've read a book a week for almost 30 years now.
Whew.
And every time I read a book that I really enjoyed, I would write to the author. So this is before like social media and everything. I would write an actual physical letter. And I would say, "This is I loved your book, and this is what I loved about it."
That's great.
And they would respond. And
Isn't that nice?
They would say, thank you. And, and then several of them started to come back, and they'd be like, hey, do you want to read my book before it comes out?
Right.
And I'd read it, and then I'd be like, hey, you care if I give you any feedback? And they'd be like, absolutely, I'd love some feedback.
All of a sudden, you're like an executive editor of a magazine or a book writing club.
And so I would edit the whole book and, send it back to them. And they would be like, oh my gosh, this is fantastic.
That is so awesome.
And they're like, well, can I pay you to edit my next book? And some of them would even pay me in back for the book that I had just done.
That is so hot. And, I cannot believe that.
And then people would say, hey, I got a friend that wants to write a book. And so about 10 years ago, I was finally like, I'm leaving corporate, and I'm just going to do this full time. So
isn't that great? That's like the American dream right there.
Right.
You know, but they also say, be careful about making your passion your business because... You know, they say if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Is it that way for you still?
You know, to me, it's still work, right? And I love it. I love what I do. And
because you are reading something different every time.
Yeah. And you have to set aside time to make sure it's happening. You have to be constantly doing it. So one of the things that I have shifted from is I really moved into this space because it's my passion. But now I look at it and I'm like, I want it to be something that I'm still passionate about. So I have shifted some of my passion to like, how do I make the most money in the least amount of time so that I can spend the time that I am wanting to be in my passion writing these books without the structure that I have to make it like, this is what I have to do.
So. So now, if somebody wants to write a book, how do they get a hold of you and what do they do? I imagine there isn't like a structured cost or anything because every book is different.
Every book is different and everyone has a different need. So I sit down with you and I'll go
through. And you're a one-man marching band, aren't you?
So I've led massive teams before, and for me, I'm like, I like to not have that structure.
Yeah.
So I work with a lot of partners.
Okay.
But the partners manage their own teams, they manage their own things. And so it allows me the flexibility to just say, hey, here's your part. You guys get it done however you want to get it done.
Right.
And it does allow me to be like that one-man band, and I can focus on the pieces that I love.
Nice.
But anything from, you know, from inception all the way through to, you know, writing the book, editing the book, promoting the book, you know,
publishing
the book.
Oh, you do. You're a turnkey.
Yes. So, again, a lot of those parts are with partners. But I have partners that I trust that I've done this with for many, many years. And so we just...
Is there a secret sauce to getting a New York Times bestseller?
Yes. Unfortunately, there is.
I knew it. Oh.
Yeah. So... The New York Times is one of the hardest ones to get, right? Because there are a number of factors that go into it, including a personal element that is not involved in a lot of the things. Like Wall Street Journal bestseller, if you hit the numbers, you can pretty much get it. New York Times, you can hit all the details that you need, but they still have a committee that decides whether or not the book qualifies. So it is a little harder to get New York Times.
Is it who you know, or is it just all of the factors that you know about?
A little of both, right?
Yeah.
You know, so there's always this element of who you know, because if you have a large following or you have, you know, you've been an actor or one of these other things that have done things. So.
All right. Well, very easy, you guys. BookJedi.com for Chip Hopper. Thank you, Chip, for sharing that with us. I'll tell a couple of my friends about you that are looking to write a book.
And if anybody's interested, I help everyone at every level do this.
Okay.
So I run masterminds around the world. One of my favorite places to go is Costa Rica. We'll take groups down there for a week.
Nice.
We help you lay out the chapters of your book and tell your story. whether you want to put it into a book or whether you want to use it for interviews or, you know, just relationships, because right. your story, the story you tell yourself is the story that defines your life.
There you go.
And so
the story that defines your life, yep. and we all need help with that, God knows. All right. TheBookJedi.com. Jim Popper. Thank you, sir.
Perfect.
All right. We'll
Sounds
be right good. Back. Stay with us.
Great.
My life is brilliant.
It is Entrepreneur Weekly today in Salt Lake City, Utah for the Consumer Summit presented by Brandless. Our next guest is Troy Beckstead. He is the founder and CEO of AI13 Billet Products. And, you know, the COVID, it had an interesting effect on a lot of folks in the entrepreneur world. To me, entrepreneurs, when a problem happens, that's when the true entrepreneur rises up.
Yeah.
And let's talk about your company just a little bit and what you had to endure, because I heard a little bit of your story last night. I thought, yeah, let's talk about that.
Right on, yeah. No, it is. Entrepreneur, definitely adapt or die. I mean, and that was the scenario we faced in July of 2020 when COVID hit and all the challenges in the oil and gas industry. We were in oil and gas work for the last 15 years. Mm. And then we had to kind of decide. It was down to the week of, do I close my doors or do we go on to something else? And that brought about AI13. So we...
Oh, so you totally pivoted.
Yeah.
Totally pivoted.
Anything we were doing in prior to July 2020, we are not doing now. We totally wow. shifted at that time. Launched a couple of new products. It all started with an idea, going for a ride, had a part break, and went, this isn't going to work anymore. So I went in the house, redesigned the part, went to the shop, made a prototype, and then took a couple of those prototypes, a few hundred of them, and drove from Salt Lake City, Utah, to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, my gosh.
With my family in tow, we were going to a dance competition for my daughter down in
Southern Utah. This is a modern age lemonade stand on the road.
Exactly. And we stopped.
You want some of these?
That's right. We did. And I'm walking into these places. My family's sitting in the car with all the luggage and everything. And I'm going into every ATV shop going, hey, I've got these. What do you think? And I came back with 1,200 of them on back order.
Oh, my gosh.
And from then out, it was just, we took off. And so we've launched 64 products in that industry ever since that time, and it's just been going gangbusters ever since.
So when you pivoted, the mindset of, okay, well, everything we've been doing is now maybe not obsolete, but just not happening.
Yeah.
What made you pivot into this billet products business?
Found a need, fill a need type of deal. Right. You know, it was just looking for an opportunity. It started with just purely trying to cover payroll.
Mm.
You know, we'd lost all this business. I have people I had to employ, and it was cover payroll or not.
But the billet, I mean, were you doing some billet stuff anyway?
Yeah, we had the CNC machines that we were making for these big machines for oil and gas.
Okay, that's what it was. You weren't in oil and gas. You were in a supplier to that industry. Okay,
yeah, we were manufacturing $500,000 machines.
Oh, wow.
I have 26 of them out and around the world. And that whole business we've walked away from to pursue this just because of the simplicity and the better, just the whole, a much better process.
In this case, the needs of the many, as we know, people love to play.
Right.
You must be a guy that likes ATVs and off-roading and stuff.
I do,
okay.
Yeah.
So you kind of knew, and it was something that you needed, and you're like, all right, gosh, we've got these machines. People aren't buying these $500,000 machines, but maybe a lot, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few in that case. A lot of people will buy these little tchotchkes and things for their, you know, whatever their need is. And wow, did you prove that right?
It's the whole bass fisherman with the little glitter on the boat. That's how they sell them. They put glitter on the boat.
Right.
The same thing. The billet aluminum, it's nice and shiny. It's a beautiful product. It works.
So long this company now has been in business, what, 18 months, a year? What's
it been? Since July 2020 is when it's a product line.
A couple of years then, okay.
Yeah.
And how's it going?
It's going great. Our biggest challenge right now is still fighting through some of the supply chain issues, getting raw materials in. But we can hardly keep up with the demand.
So the company is A1 or AI13. What does that stand for?
American Ingenuity.
Okay.
And the first, when we launched that first nozzle, there was 13 other products that went with it. So American Ingenuity and 13 products was the baseline.
So you literally, I mean, it's like, you even came up with a name that glorified, in essence,
absolutely
the journey.
Yep.
Do you have any people ask you about AI13?
They do. Name? They're like, AI13. Well, we made a play on, this is the periodic table for aluminum is AL13.
Oh,
and so we
that's
made
what
a play,
I thought it looked like. Yeah.
We made a play on that.
Interesting. So what's next for this company of yours?
Geez, we've got 24 products lined up that are waiting to release. We're releasing a product a month right now, and it's just to continue to push good product into the market that's made here in the United States, that's made by people here in Salt Lake City.
Wow. So your slogan is buy it once, use it for life.
Things straight.
You're sick and tired of things breaking down when you're out on the dunes.
Absolutely.
Or wherever you go.
Yeah.
And so you decided, you know what, we got the machinery, let's make this happen.
Let's make it work. And it's flowing.
And so what other kinds of products besides the off-road and side-by-side and ATV industry?
You know, it's kind of funny. We split over into the kitchen industry, kitchen products.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, so it's developing other products for other influencers. I mean, I'm a designer, I'm a creator. That's what I do. And so taking all of those designs and those creations and being able to distribute, whether it's through AI13 brand or through anybody else who has a need, it's the whole find a need, fill a need solution.
Right, right. Well, Troy, thank you. The website, what is it?
AI13.us.
There you have it. Products made in U.S. Again, playing off of important things that tell the story, even in the website. All right. We'll take a break from the Consumer Summit. It is Entrepreneur Weekly. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Attention business owners, 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are three things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the Clutter Factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the Death of the Salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. It's worked for 250,000 businesses worldwide. It'll work for you. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, here we are in Salt Lake City, the town, the land of my free friend who is free from the world because he's an entrepreneur. He lives his life, Randy Garn, completely free from the chains that hold most people back called a job. And although I think you work harder than any human being I've ever met besides myself, Randy Garn, you're an amazing human being. Thank you for all that you've done in my life, which is to introduce me to so many of these people. What do you want to talk about? Where do we start?
I mean, really, what I'd like to talk about today is you.
Oh.
Alan Taylor.
Yeah.
We're going to have a therapy session right
me
now.
And my cows, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Because Alan, you are one of my favorite. I'm not kidding you. Like, every time I finish with Alan, my cheeks hurt. Like, I'm this smile. I
you
laugh.
You know what?
You're the kind of friend that when you think about, like, even just hanging out with, you get excitement and joy, and you bring so much joy to my life.
You are lying. Stop lying. I told you you're going to hell for that.
I'm not lying.
But Randy knows everybody. He's with Jay Shetty one minute. He's with Tim Tebow another. He's over here with the head of Traeger Grills. He's over here with, I mean, it's like, you name it. It's like Randy is with these people. He knows them all. And I'm like, how can you meet that many people in such a short lifespan? Because you are all about the people.
I love
you are
people.
All about meeting people, and they make life better. People make life better. Can I just be weird for a minute? I was in church the other day, and I'm reading through the Bible, and I see this. This is Jesus talking.
Okay. I like
a
Jesus.
New commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so must you love one another. This is a commandment. This is how we live our lives.
It is.
I love people. I'm the same way. How could you do this job, talking to people all the time, and how could you do your job if we didn't love people? How can you be an entrepreneur if you don't love people?
Wow,
because
dude.
Everything we do is to try and make people's lives better. Is it not?
Dude, I 100% agree. And I try to live by three rules. There's the golden rule. There's the platinum rule. And then there's the gospel rule. Do you know the difference between the three?
Given me.
All right, the golden rule is treat others as you would want to be treated, right?
Correct, yep.
There's a whole nother rule called the platinum rule that I came up with, and it is actually treat others the way they want to be treated. Because they may not want to be treated the way you want to be treated.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay.
You know?
That's true.
It is true. So you have to with people. Don't treat them the way you want to
be
treated.
What are you calling this, the platinum rule?
The platinum rule. Okay, it's a level higher than the golden rule, dude.
Okay, okay.
I've
heard you talk about this before.
The third rule is what you talked about. And this is another level is the gospel rule.
Yes.
And that is to treat others the way God would treat them.
Wow, look at you.
We are all sons of God and daughters of God.
And brothers and sisters of each other.
I really do try to see, and I'm being serious, I try to see the divinity in everyone.
Yeah.
And treat everybody the same, no matter if they're CEO of a company or the Uber driver.
One of my favorite questions to ask CEOs, because they have the weight of the world on their shoulder. There's the chief executive. When things go wrong, it is on their shoulders. I always say, what do you do to escape from this? Is it meditate? Is it, you know, how do you find your zen place? And, you know, I find that everybody has a different way of doing it, but you just kind of let me see, you know, behind the curtain on you. You're a spiritual guy. I mean, I know a lot of people that know that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, for all of us, why? What is our why? Why are we doing this? What does God want with us?
Why do we create
us,
businesses?
Right?
Why do we become entrepreneurs?
Right.
I will tell you, for me, it's like I love to create. And if we're not creating, I don't think we have happiness and joy. I know I don't. So when you have that entrepreneurial itch, it's actually an itch to create for me. It's like I want to live up to the measure of God's creation. What did he create me to do?
Yeah.
Like, and that's why there's always that journey for greatness. That's always like, I'm built for more, but what can I create? How can I help? Who can I help? A big thing that I like to do, I like to build people, not companies. I love to build leaders because they in turn build companies. If I can help a CEO that's managing 6,000 people be a better CEO and a better leader, then that's what I was born to do. That's what I love more than anything is creating great, amazing leaders.
And to me, it takes principles, virtues, and values on top of systems and processes.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I always hear systems and processes, but wait a minute. Then I find a guy that, you know, cheating on his wife and he's at a strip club and I'm like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is a no-go for me.
Yep.
So I look to find people that are like-minded, that have a goal in mind at the end so that we're all winning. And 100%. To me, this is so important. And also then to have people that you're going to do business with that you love being around, right? I love when I come hang around with you and all your friends. Yeah. And then now I have all these friends too. And, you know, we're fishing together and doing business together and laughing and enjoying life and checking on how's your kids or your grandkids or whatever. To me, this is a value of life that is so much more important than the money we make.
100%.
The money we make is nice.
Yeah.
But the friendship that we make is forever. So thank you for your friendship.
Alan, you're the best, man.
I know it.
You really are.
You're funny.
I mean, you and Jan, you're Uncle Alan to my kids.
Oh, you're funny, man.
It's just super, super good to see you.
I met Randy, by the way, doing an interview just like this, and we've been brothers from other mothers ever since. Randy Garn. How do you want people to find you? Just randygarn.com?
Yeah, you can just go to randygarn.com, or you can find me on the fishing stream.
There you go. Standing out in the middle of the stream fly fishing. All right. This is the kind of people that are here today. This event put on by Brandless. It's the Consumer Summit in Salt Lake City. We'll be right back.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Here we go at the Consumer Summit again, Entrepreneur Weekly on site, checking out what is happening here in Utah. And this whole Consumer Summit is presented by Brandless. And if you didn't hear the Brandless story, you might want to listen to the podcast if you're just joining us on radio stations. It's a great story, and I love it when companies get together like this and invite other companies to get together, and that's what's going on here at this Consumer Summit. Joining us right now is a gentleman named Jason McGowan, CEO of Crumble?
Yes, co-founder and CEO.
Co-founder and CEO. Crumble is spelled like this, C-R-U-M-B-L, no E, .com, Crumble. So last night, we were at this kind of VIP thing going on for all the speakers here, and they had a table of cookies, and I love cookies. That's my weakness.
That's good.
So I saw the cookie table, and I thought, no, I can't partake. And at the end of the evening, one of the ladies walks over with this cookie with this little mound of icing on it, and I went, oh my God, that looks so good. And I looked at the cookie table, and there was one cookie left. And I want to tell you, it was like O.J. Simpson running through the airport to get to his rental car, if you remember those commercials.
I do.
And I ran over there, and I mean, it was like to grab that last cookie, and I told her, I go, that was the best cookie I've ever had.
I love it.
The cookie was delicious. The icing was over the top. It was some, I don't know what it was, but it was like a kind of a citrusy thing with the icing. It was just so, excuse me, my mouth is watering thinking about it. Tell us the story of Crumble. This is such a great cookie company.
You bet. Well, first of all, congratulations on getting the last cookie.
Yeah, right?
That's a big piece.
Oh, no,
so
we're getting more.
Congratulations
after
on that.
When you're done here, baby, I'm going to give you my address. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, Crumble just started out as a simple business in Logan, Utah, and we wanted to set out to create the world's best chocolate chip cookie. And so we kind of iterated and iterated and iterated on a recipe, and we'd go out to local neighbors and gas stations. And when we launched, we only had the chance to make one cookie. So we launched our whole business, had one cookie, the chocolate chip cookie.
Unreal.
And that's kind of how we got started.
I mean, now, where are you? Bring us fast forward. How many years you've been in business, and give us a little on the journey.
Yeah, you bet. So right now, we are a little over 5 years in the journey here. And we have over 800 locations in every state. Yep, throughout the United States.
Oh my gosh, in 5 years?
Yeah, a little over 5 years, yes.
That is crazy growth.
It's been super exciting and a lot of fun and a lot of challenging things, but it's been absolutely
amazing.
So
it's a franchise.
It is a franchise concept, yeah. And
how many did you retain? Do you have a few?
We had a few. We sold them off, and we really were focusing on building the brand and really being a support to entrepreneurs and to our franchise partners. And so
I love this story.
Yeah.
How in the world? I mean, the mergers and acquisitions of property and real estate and all the things that, my goodness, 800 locations.
Yeah, it's been a lot to scale really, really quickly.
Oh, my gosh.
The popularity of the brand has been phenomenal. Customers have really loved it. And we've really, really grown, not only from a number of units, but also just how well the stores and things are doing as well.
So have you gotten involved, or dare I say, into bed with any suppliers? Are you starting to buy other companies that are suppliers to you? And
we haven't got to that point yet, but we've made our own chocolate chips, for example.
Okay, so it's begun.
Yeah. So we've gone through the process of really starting to acquire some of those things. Yes.
Yeah, because I have to imagine at a certain point, you're going to have to.
Yeah.
In order to ensure that your quality is there, and you see this with like the In-N-Out burgers, they're really, they're focused on making sure that it's high quality, and I'm just using them as an example.
Yeah.
At a certain point, at a certain level, you have to own your own manufacturing.
You really do. Yeah. A few years ago during COVID, the toilet paper crisis caused box issues for everyone, right? Just paper goods. And
right.
We have to invest and work directly with pulp mills and versus local companies.
This is where I was going. Yeah, wow.
So you have to really kind of jump ahead of those things, especially when you get bigger.
That was really scary, by the way, the toilet paper caper. It was really bad.
Almost as scary as not getting the last chocolate chip cookie out there, yes.
Yes, I bought a barn and filled it full of toilet paper. I will never be without toilet paper. Okay, so Crumble is C-R-U-M-B-L, no E, crumble.com. Do you ship cookies around, or is it
We do ship cookies around. Again, we have 800 locations throughout the United States, so you can go in any state and just go into a store and see the cookies being made in real time. We open it up to everyone so they can smell the cookies and enjoy the experience of getting them.
It's kind of like a Krispy Kreme all over again, but only a little twist. Different.
Yes. And then, of course, we ship cookies nationally, too, as well. So anyone that's a little bit further away from a store, they can order cookies online, too.
Are you doing any international yet?
We just opened internationally a few months ago. So we opened up in the Great White North in my home country of Canada.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, so we opened up in my home province and in Alberta. And, we got a store open there. And now we got one in Saskatchewan as well. So
nice. How has this Crumble changed your life?
I mean, it's just dramatically changed my life. I've gone from, someone just trying to build a little business
to
trying to run a huge company that is really helping and influencing a lot of people and a lot of entrepreneurs.
So. You know what's funny? How many people told you don't do it? Don't do it, Jason.
Oh, everyone.
It's a stupid cookie. Don't do it.
My wife's like, people can just bake cookies at home, you know?
Even your wife. Yeah. Even your wife.
But I will say she was the first one to support me. As soon as I get it, she's like, she's the biggest supporter. But yeah, you have a lot of people just saying like, no, this is not going to work. It's just cookies. It's not going to work. And I think that's one of the great things about being an entrepreneur is you just sometimes do things that sound a little crazy.
Yeah.
And when they worked out, that's pretty validating and pretty fun.
Do you still like chocolate chip cookies?
I love them. I love semi-sweet better than milk chocolate chip, but I love cookies. So.
I love it. I love this story. The cookies, the one I had last night was fantastic. And congratulations. I have a quick story to tell you. I had a friend that got into the coffee business 21 years ago. And his father owned a dairy farm, and I see him one day out there with an espresso machine and with a push cart. And I'm like, what are you doing? You idiot. This is how friends talk to each other.
Yes, yes.
What in the heck are you doing? I can imagine your friends did this to you.
Yes,
and
they
go, stop, go back to the dairy. Your dad has a great business. He's going to leave it to you. Just go back to the dairy. You're crazy. He's worth $4 billion today.
I love that
story. It's Dutch Brothers Coffee, Travis Boersma. I sold him his first car when he was 16. The guy is like, he laughs. I go, just don't take my advice, Travis. Anyway.
I love that.
You know what? I'm glad that he and you have followed your passion.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes.
You know, it's sometimes you just got to go whatever what you have to go after, and if the world's telling you no, sometimes you just got to go for it anyways.
That's a mic drop. Crumble.com with no E. Crumble.com. Jason McGowan, thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. From the Consumer Summit, there's more with Entrepreneur Weekly. Hi, it's Alan Taylor from Entrepreneur Weekly. Child sexual exploitation is an unimaginable crime that continues to invade our communities and homes. The National Children's Alliance reports that almost 700,000 children are abused in the U.S. each year, with 65% of child abuse cases involving sexual exploitation. The Maloof Foundation exists to confront this crime by providing education, promoting healing, and ensuring justice for survivors. But making a difference can't be done alone. To create the greatest impact, they're going to need your help and mine. Do like I did and join the Maloof Foundation in their efforts to confront child sexual exploitation and learn how you can preserve a child's right to freedom, hope, justice, and dignity. I just want to repeat this one last time. The National Children's Alliance reports almost 700,000 children are abused in the U.S. each year. You can help. Let's do it together. At MaloofFoundation.org. That's MALOUF. Foundation.org. Okay, we are here once again in Utah for the Consumer Summit presented by Brandless. I'm Alan Taylor, and our next guest right now is Jen Clyde. And I have to tell you, there's a this could be embarrassing.
Yeah.
There's a spelling mistake in your brand.
Oh, son of a...
Yeah, the company is forall.com, but you guys spelled it F-O-R-E.
Yes, because we're a golf brand.
Oh, like four?
Right, like watch out, here comes something amazing right towards your face.
Well, then I stand corrected. So tell us about forall.com, spelled with an E.
Yeah, we're a women-focused golf brand that our tagline is golfing is optional because we really are trying to bring more women into the game with better apparel and not so much expectation and really just having more fun. Yeah.
So it seems like, you know, lately that golfing, and I don't know, maybe you can tell me, your husband and your... one of your partners is, these two gentlemen are pros?
So.
Or maybe you're the pro.
I wish I was. I wish I could sit here today and tell you. But turns out that me and my co-founder, Michelle Money, who is actually engaged to a pro golfer.
Okay.
I'm actually not married, but.
Oh.
So. I'm not the one. I'm not the one you think I am.
I was told somebody had a pro golfer husband.
She's my partner.
Okay, this is awesome. And she was here, but we only had two microphones. So.
Yeah.
But it seems like that golfing has kind of taken a whole new you know, upsurge.
Yes.
It's trending up, if I can say that. Why do you think that is lately?
Well, they saw a spike in 2020 with women.
Uh-huh.
And
especially with women then, okay.
Yeah, especially with women. And I think obviously for reasons that, you know, with the whole COVID thing, but and more families were getting out to the golf course, and it really piqued an interest with women. And I think women are getting more and more into business, obviously, forever. Like, this has been a big trend, but having, like, business conversations on the course is really helpful as well.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
think that we saw a spike there. And, yeah, we just have really, you know, kind of capitalized on that growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there is something that when you're out on the golf course, business people, men or women, doesn't matter. But there's a freedom to it where you feel like you can talk about things that you can't in the boardroom.
No.
There's just a certain freedom to it. And then you also, men and women both, let their hair down a little bit.
Yeah.
Relax a little bit. There's not so much stress. You're kind of focusing on something with the intellectual side of your mind, golf game.
Right.
Where the real you kind of gets to show. So I haven't been golfing in a while, but
you haven't.
Last time I went was with my friend Randy, who you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we went golfing with a pro basketball player that was like 7 foot, you know, 12 inches tall. I don't know. I was like,
yeah.
This guy is huge.
Yeah.
You
how'd that go? How'd that go?
He was a really good golfer.
Perfect.
And I was, of course, chasing the ball all over the place. But
yeah. Sounds like
let's talk about this again, forall.com,
yeah.
foreall.com.
Yeah.
What brought this about?
Well, to be honest with you, I got left off a business deal, was very upset, and they said, well, guess what? We didn't call you because we didn't think you golfed. Knowing that I needed to learn how to golf because I was in business.
Look at that.
I called Michelle knowing she was dating Mike Weir. We went, learned how to play together. Well, not even learned. I should say we tried to learn. Posted a reel. Everybody was like, I want to golf with you. I don't know how to golf.
Funny.
Yeah, and so the women just went crazy. It went viral, and then we were like, okay, we have to do proof of concept. Had some events. All three of them sold out.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're like, okay, now we have this big community, so now we got to develop a product for them. And because...
So smart.
Yeah, because they were talking to us and telling us what they've always needed and wanted to see more of, we were able to develop a really cool apparel line and golf products that really resonate with the modern woman.
So your partner, Michelle Money, was here. I noticed you're both wearing green jackets.
Yep.
Anything to that?
Yes. Yes, there is. Thanks for asking.
Okay.
Yeah, our green jackets are super cool. So it's a part of our like higher end collection. But when you buy this green jacket, it's like a ticket into a private Instagram where you have access into sneak peeks. You actually are able to help the designer build the next lines. You get feedback, as we have our own green jacket dinner yearly that you are only invited to if
Look
you own
that.
A green jacket.
Look at that.
Yeah, it's really fun.
And so what were you doing before this?
So I was in business development and branding with another co-founder of mine, but we had our own branding consulting company. And then I've had businesses before that. And then Michelle, she's been a big influencer, you know, The Bachelor life. Like she
oh,
was on
that's
the
right.
Bachelor.
She was on The Bachelor.
She was on The Bachelor.
That's right.
Yeah. And
I thought she looked kind of familiar.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's been all, you know, all over reality TV, and she's really made a name for herself, as well as she has started her own Michelle Money Talks. Money Talks is what it's called.
It's a podcast?
Community of women, we should say.
Gotcha. Podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then, so now, how long have you guys been going with the company, All for All?
Well, we launched in 2021.
Okay.
And so we were only doing events, and we launched our apparel line March of 2023, and we're already sold out of most of our apparel line.
Wow. So literally, you just got the
yes. Yes.
That's phenomenal.
I know. And we're in 30 stores across the nation.
Look at that.
I know. We're excited. And we're growing internationally next year.
And then are you a Utah company?
We are.
Okay. I know there's so many. There's not all of them that are here for the Consumer Summit, but amazing, these companies and the growth.
Mm.
And with the economy bad, it doesn't seem to be affecting you guys.
I know. People keep asking us about that. And to be honest with you, we're being mindful.
Yeah.
We're being mindful. We had the opportunity to go into 96 stores. But we said, nope, we're going to go into...
You don't want to get out over your skis.
No. We didn't want to oversaturate. Yeah. We picked 30. We're taking the easy.
Yeah.
And we're just being mindful.
Well, taking the wise path,
yes.
I might say.
Yes.
Forall.com, if you're a golfer, ladies or gentlemen. I can't wait to go visit the website, Jen.
I cannot wait to go golfing with you.
Oh, gosh. You don't want to golf with me?
I cannot wait.
Oh, you got to bring a bucket of sand and some grass seed because I'm divoting everywhere.
I'm all about it. Remember, we're just going to have fun. That's what golf is about.
That's
okay?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Jen Clyde and Michelle Money, you can go check them out at foreall.com, foreall.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Great story.
Love
Thanks
it.
For visiting us here at the Consumer Summit.
Yeah.
Entrepreneur Weekly will be right back live on the show floor, you might say. Stay with us.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please.
Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly today at the Consumer Summit. Let's talk a little fintech with Kasra Marinu, ecompayments.io. Tell us about this space.
Sure. So we are a payment processing company, and we are direct with the card brands, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover. And we pretty much process payments. Anything that's done online or in person that requires a credit card, we would set that up for you, whether it be the POS system, whether it be configuring the rates, compliance. There's a ton of moving parts involved.
Kasra, how did you get involved in this industry?
You know, this is an interesting question. It wasn't like I learned about it in college. I never knew what payment processing was. I knew what credit cards were. And honestly, to be perfectly honest with you, I wanted to do something. I love serving people. I love talking to people. I love serving people. And I was working at an elementary school. I had worked at Wall Street before that at Goldman Sachs.
Wait a minute. He goes from Wall Street to elementary school?
Listen, I went backwards, right?
This is No, I don't think so. And sometimes, you know, listen, an archer, in order to make his arrow fly, he has to pull the arrow backwards and then release, and it goes. So you went off into the world, and you thought, this is not for me.
Yeah.
So, but you went backwards, like you're saying there.
Yeah.
But you really didn't, because then you released and look at you now.
Wow. I never looked at it like that.
Yeah.
That's so interesting, because now that you say that, I was right when 911 happened, I would have been there at the same time. That's the time that I moved to Florida. I worked at Goldman Sachs.
Wow.
And so now that you say that, I'm like, well, it just hit me in my head.
You look about 30 years old. You don't even look old enough to have been there at that time.
I wish I was 30.
Wow.
No way, man. Just the Florida sun.
There you go. That's too funny. Wow. Look at that. Well, so you know what? God works in interesting ways, obviously.
Yeah.
And those who are seeking their true purpose, you know what they say about the entrepreneur? It's like a kind of like the line is a heartbeat. Up, down, up, down, up, down, back and forth. But that's because you're seeking to find, you know, true happiness.
Right.
And be fulfilled with what you do instead of just making a lot of money. Making a lot
Absolutely.
Of money is good, right?
Oh, yeah.
But the richest people in the world will tell you the money, you know, only gave them the ability to then go and find what they're truly wanting to do in their life and with their life. So, and that's where you are. I mean, the fact that you went from Wall Street to a elementary school, my goodness.
Yeah.
What an interesting
And one
journey.
Of the hardest jobs that I've ever had was working in the elementary school.
That's great.
I did everything on demand. Listen to this. I'm not kidding you. I was a teacher aide at one time. I actually helped the students with, like, food. I helped with grants. I helped with accounting. I wrote letters for the principal. I handled all the technology. I was a crossing guard. I went into the neighborhood, to the children's home to say, hey, you're not here today. How can we help you? I was videographer. I built websites. I did everything.
Wow, that
everything.
Is so cool, man. I love this story.
Oh, God.
So then, what led you into this fintech space?
Sure. There are unfortunately, limitations in the school system,
sure,
right?
Sure.
You know, those teachers, I take my hat off to them. Like, your income is capped,
right?
No matter
right.
what you do.
No, no, it's a thankless job in one way,
mm-hmm.
but because they love their children and children in general, children are our future. So
that's
thank
right.
God these people do these jobs.
That's right. Yeah, it's not for everybody. And so I said, you know, what can I do that's still serving people since I'm doing it at another level here? And allow me to make money when I'm not working. And that I went online literally and just happened to find this company that was a payment processing company. And they flew me out. I mean, it was a long story, but they flew me out and it's been history ever since.
So what is your role at Econ Payments?
Founder.
Oh, you founded this company. So you're no longer working for the company that you went to work for.
Correct,
you,
no.
You decided at some point, you know what, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can make a better mousetrap.
Yes, exactly.
So what is different about Econ Payments than the typical payment company that you went to work for before?
Well, one, and I hate to say this, the payment processing space is not the most ethical space, to be perfectly honest with you. There's so many moving parts. And
there's a lot of way to create shades of gray, if I may. Right? It's the same with the car dealers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I was young, I was a car dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, I'm not going to do things the way other car mm-hmm. dealers do. Not that they're evil. I just didn't want to do
right.
things the way they did. I cared about my customers.
Absolutely.
My customers became now my friends.
Yeah.
And if something was wrong with their car, I mean, I would go pick it up, you know,
okay.
and that turned
okay.
into another business.
Right. Wow.
So, yeah, and I had a mechanic shop and a body shop, and it grew because
right.
I cared about my customers and I didn't
right.
want them to get ripped off.
Exactly.
So I get this, what you're saying.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So the company is ecom payments.io.
Yes.
If you just heard this story from Khosra, then you need to go check it out. Khosra, thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate you.
Congratulations on your success. That's it for me here at the Consumer Summit. We'll see you next time right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.